Hare Krishna. So I've been asked to speak about the 10 offences of the holy name. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked Lord Chaitanya, which is the most important activity in devotional service? And Lord Chaitanya immediately replied, chanting the holy name. So this is the essence of devotional service, to come to the point where we can chant the holy name of the Lord in pure consciousness. So, why 10 offences? These offences prevent us from chanting Namabhasp, the clearing stage. If we don't follow the 10 offences, then we are chanting Namaparad. And in Namaparad we make very little progress. It's just like it's described in the Nectar of Instruction, that we're taking an elephant bath. In other words, we're chanting the holy name, and no matter how we're chanting the holy name, how much it, how tentatively, still if we're committing offences, it's counteracting that effect. And just like an elephant would go into the water, take a bath, and then they come out and they blow dust all over themselves. So in the same way, we have to avoid committing that mistake of chanting offensively. So Namabhas, there's actually two stages of Namabhas. One is called Chaya. This is when we're chanting without offence, but we don't have full understanding of the holy name. We're not on the pure stage. So therefore, when we chant in this way, gradually we come to the point of Sudanam, pure chanting. So this is a shadow of the holy name. The next one, I forget the Sanskrit name, but it's like a reflection of the holy name. It's like the holy name's obstructed. And what is the difference in this obstructed stage? We are chanting with material desires for fruitive activities, jnana, yoga, so many different desires. And in this way, we don't get the potency of the holy name. And although, in theory, we can come to the stage of pure chanting by constantly chanting, there's a danger that when we chant in this stage, that we come to the point of chanting with aparad, offensive chanting. So it's very important to understand this point and try to chant without any material desires. So this is the stage we want, Namabhas. Namabhas is like the when the sun rises, or even before the sun rises, there's light. So this is like the reflection of the holy name. We're getting some benefit, and that is enough to purify us and eventually come to the point of pure chanting. Just like we know when the sun is rising, it starts to become light, and we know in due course of time, eventually we'll have full brightness. So in the same way, this Namabhas is so important to chant on this platform. So the first offence is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the chanting of the holy name. Actually, it's much deeper than that. Any type of offence while we're chanting is going to be some obstruction. Lord Kapila says in the third chapter that we should avoid offending any living entity. Every living entity has a particular relationship with the Supreme, and therefore a Vaishnava learns how to deal with every particular living entity. In that way, we don't offend anybody. But more in particular, when we commit offences to other Vaishnavas, that the fence really becomes very strong. So why would we do that? What is going to impel us to maybe commit offence on another Vaishnava? And in the forget the name of the scripture, but one scripture is telling us that Dasamula, actually, it's telling us that when we see a Vaishnava on the material platform, why do we see him on a material platform? Material consciousness, of course, but also it says another thing, that we look at his past. We see into the past and see that particular Vaishnava's activity before he came to devotional service. So this can be a common fault with devotees, that unless we come to the stage of seeing what we're really looking at, we're looking at the soul, we see the material body and we remember the past activities of the devotee, and then we create diversity, higher and lower, and usually we're on the higher platform. And so in that situation then we tend to look down on other devotees. So this is also a fault. So we have to avoid this tendency to see devotees as being materialistic. It's just like Jagai and Madai. When eventually Lord Chaitanya forgave both of them, he said in front of everybody that now they're taking to pure spiritual life. Nobody should we should all forget about everything they've done in the past. And so they did everything, all the wrong activities. But Lord Chaitanya immediately forgave them. Why? Because they were changing their lives. Apijet sudaracharo, bhajate mamananyabhak, sadhu eva samantavya, samyak vyavisoisa. So this is also saying that even afterwards, due to that strong association with the material energy, even though we may take initiation, become serious about the activity, still there's a tendency to act in a wrong way. And when we act in that wrong way, sometimes we'll see that actually this Vaishnava is not so is not so fixed up after all, and we start creating offence again. But Lord Krishna is saying that no, this devotee has made a commitment to try and purify his life. Therefore, if he commits some temporary mistake, then he's to be overlooked. And he said, "Sadhu, he's sadhu." He emphasises to Arjuna. Arjuna is giving so many reasons why he shouldn't be called a sadhu. But no, Lord Krishna mitigates all of them. He cancels all of them out. So yeah, no matter what a Vaishnava does, we shouldn't criticise that Vaishnava. Obviously, if after some time they keep committing the same offence, Prabhupada says that then that's not such a high Vaishnava. So temporary, this is on about temporary temporary fault. So even though we may be chanting with some offence, what's the answer? How should we chant? Where should we chant? So this is also explained that if we chant in the association of devotees, then we can actually come to the pure platform. Chanting on our own is not so powerful. What does it mean, chanting in the association of devotees? Yes, it's very encouraging to chant in the temple room, and we get enthusiasm from being in that association to chant with attention, but also to take advantage of that association outside of chanting, to inquire how we can make progress. And if we're open to that feedback from devotees, they can point out certain anattas in the heart which we can then weed out. So yes, to blaspheme the devotee is very dangerous. So the next, the second one is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to the name of Lord Krishna. So I don't think in this part of the world it's such a problem, because most people don't know what the demigods are. But in the Nectar of in the Madhurya Kadambini, it explains that there's a whole section, bigger section than any other part of the ten offences, explaining this fault of seeing the demigods on an equal or higher platform. So particularly if we take birth in the land of India, this may be more prominent. But still, we should be careful that we don't develop material outlook, because then we have a tendency to even take shelter of the Lord with material motivation. So this is going the same way. There's different kinds of people approach the Lord, which is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. And so Krishna will reciprocate according to the way we approach him. So it's important to understand this point, that what we give to Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate back. So you have to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to the holy name of Krishna. And then the third offence is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So this is an obvious one. If we are taking shelter of a devotee, then we're actually taking shelter. Too many times we may take shelter, but afterwards we may not be so keen to follow instructions. So we have to have the same mentality Prabhupada had. When he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he immediately paid his obeisances because that was the thing to do in India especially. He didn't even know who Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was. And when he rose, Bhaktisiddhanta said, "You should preach to the English-speaking world." And so Prabhupada, he was very very forward for his time. He was the leader of all his associates. And so he didn't just accept that. He started giving arguments. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeated all of them. And then Prabhupada realized that this is a very special person. And he says, "At that time I accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur into my heart." So actually that's what initiation is. What we're going to see now is the rubber stamp. You know, we sign on the dotted line. Now we've done all our homework, and we're completely convinced what we want to do. Now before the fire, the Vaishnavas and the deities, we're going to sign. Just like when we go to sign for a lease on a house or anything, we sign before the solicitor, before the person who owns the house and like that. And when once we've signed, there's no, that's it, finished. So yes, we should follow the instructions of the spiritual. It's not a material thing, initiation. We tend to, sometimes we can think that, or get caught up in that, the spiritual master doesn't know me, or he doesn't understand me. But this is also, it depends how serious we are, and how bona fide the spiritual master is. If both are bona fide, Krishna works through the heart of both spiritual master and disciple. So we should take the instruction of the spiritual master as our heart and soul. And Prabhupada actually spoke about this when he was commenting on the Bhagavad Gita. What's that verse? I forget. Vyasa Vyat Mikaburi Ekeha Kuranandana. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote on this about how, you know, it's the beginning of devotional life and it's the end of devotional life to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada was completely satisfied. He thought, "This is all I have to do. Just follow the instruction of the spiritual master and success is assured." So we should take this particular instruction very seriously. The next one is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures. So this is the one which we have to follow very carefully, that we're following the instructions of the spiritual master, we're following the instructions of the sadhus. But unless we actually come to the point of understanding the Shastra sufficiently, then we won't know what the spiritual master or the devotees are telling us. So understanding the Shastra is very important. It actually solidifies our devotional service. We can check everything with Shastra. I remember Prabhupada, I'll not go through the whole story, but it was a moon landing, and one devotee was following the moon landing very carefully. It was Prabhupada's servant. And eventually this devotee was having difficulty, and he left the movement. And Prabhupada was heard to say to his senior devotees afterwards, "I could understand him not actually having faith in me, but how could he not have faith in the Vedic literatures?" So this is also extremely important. When some spiritual master asks the disciples to read so much every day like this. So this is keeping the intelligence sharp. When the intelligence is sharp, then we don't get caught out. I've got a story. Would you like to hear it? So there's... because sometimes we haven't time, have we? We've got too much to do. So there was this person who was walking through the forest, and as he was halfway through the forest, he had this and he was a person who was sawing through a log, and so he took note when he was halfway through the log, and so he just carried on his journey to the other end, and he bought what he had to do in the other village, and he was on his way back, and he, as he's coming back, he heard this. And he saw that he was still sawing the same log, and he was still only halfway through. He says, "Why don't you sharpen that saw?" He says, "I haven't time." So this is the same thing in devotional service. If we don't make time, then we'll not go very far. So the next one is the... glories of the Holy Name. Considering the glories of the Holy Name to be imagination. So I think it was Gopal Chakravarti. He thought the glories of the Holy Name was imagination. And so therefore he severely criticized Haridas Thakur. If this Holy Name is better than liberation, then is not better than liberation, may your nose drop off. And so unfortunately he was wrong, and obviously he lost his own nose. So we don't want any accidents after initiation. And then the other one is to give some interpretation of the meaning of the Holy Name of the Lord. So, you know, it takes great faith to chant the Holy Name properly, to take full shelter. Usually what happens is that we're put into difficult situations. It's in difficult situations we can really take shelter of the Holy Name. But if we do that, then we realise the potency of the Holy Name. And we can avoid that tendency to think it's just a material activity. Actually, that's the next one. So a devotee should be prepared that, you know, we've declared war on Maya. It's not going to be that we take initiation and that's it. This is just the beginning. And so Krishna will, or Maya will, send so many obstacles. But those obstacles are actually our stepping stone for success in devotional life. The seventh one is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Holy Name. So this is just a matter of being serious. You know, we don't become lazy in devotional service. This is another symptom of material life, is that when we achieve something, we tend to slack off. So as we were saying earlier, in the association of devotees, this keeps us vibrant in devotional service. If we keep that association, we're able to remain serious. And the ninth one, the eighth one, to consider the chanting of the Holy Name to only be one of the ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, pious activities. And it can be pious activities. One devotee was giving class a few days ago, and he told us about the three levels of chanting: Namaparad, Namabhas, and Shuddhanam. And he was saying that in Namaparad, although we're doing the elephant bath, we're not going very far. We get our material desires fulfilled. So then the tendency is to look on the Holy Name as a desire tree for my own satisfaction. So this is another obstacle. Ninth one, instruct a faithless person. So this doesn't mean we don't preach. You know, we err on the side of caution. No, we should err on the other side. as we become more experienced in approaching people and trying to give the holy name, trying to give Krishna consciousness, we'll learn who to approach, when to approach, how to approach. But in the beginning we should be bold. We should try and give Krishna consciousness. Now this is the essence of this movement, is that we're a movement which is just solely made for creating devotees, making more devotees. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. He severely criticized one of his disciples for not leaving his association and preaching. And eventually he told him to get out. And he knew he couldn't stay in Prabhupada's association. And then a few months later he came back after he was preaching in the Eastern Europe, and Prabhupada was overjoyed to hear his report. He says, "This is so nice, Prabhupada. People are taking to Krishna consciousness like anything." He says, "Just see, you were sat in my association just rotting away, and I forced you to go out and preach." So actually this is where the life is in Krishna consciousness. When we try to give Krishna consciousness, we receive Krishna consciousness. We receive so much. And then we have the the last one. Maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Actually, this is the one which I should have spoken about, laziness. That we still remain attached. We still don't try to put effort into purifying the heart. So there's two things. The chanting is purifying the heart. But also, we have to make the effort. We have to, by good chanting, we'll be able to look into the heart and see where the problem is. So this is the benefit of chanting the holy name with attention. We see where the difficulty is, and this is a great boon. Sometimes we feel despondent that there's so many anattas coming up. This is actually good. When we see the anattas, then we can do something about it. So these are a little bit of a overview on the 10 offences we should avoid. And if we do come to the point, we keep trying to come to the point of chanting without offences in the association of devotees, eventually this will come to pure chanting. Namabhas, then pure chanting, and then success is assured. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.